Well, Scott, cheers.
Hey, good day.
Hey, welcome to the Gig Harbor Flycast, and this is Blake from the Gig Harbor Fly Shop, and right now we are on a boat in Cuba, very remote Cuba. We're off the grid for a substantial distance, right? So this is Scott Houston, and he's from Canada, the Great White North, and is a pharmacist, and he has been on several different trips with me. And I thought that for those of you that do travel, whether it's coming down to the Caribbean or going to Alaska or all over the place, Scott has been to a ton of these different places, and he has the ultimate packing list of what you really need for to be safe while you travel. I remember one year coming down to Cuba, I can't remember which trip it was, but it was on this boat, and it was probably like seven or eight years ago. And I started to feel a little tickle in my throat when I was in Havana, and then the first day I woke up on the boat, I was just deathly sick. It was horrible. I mean, no one on the boat had any sort of medication. I didn't have anything. The boat, it's Cuba. They don't have anything. It was a week of suffering for sure for me. And I know a lot of other people have had similar experiences like that. I mean, have you had any experiences like that where sick traveling?
Fortunately, personally, I have not really had any significant illness on a trip. We've had a couple instances where we've helped other guests. We were talking last night when first time I went to Christmas Island, we had a gentleman who was a bit older than the average traveler. He was almost 70 or in his early 70s, and he ended up with some loose bowel movements and became dehydrated. He had no rehydration anything, but
there's no beer.
Well, beer's probably not the best. So we gave him stuff like this. Well, we have the like these sport tablets.
Yeah.
You can use Gatorade powder. I love these things. These are Cliff Blocks. They're both like glucose plus electrolytes. You know, so even a day where you need a snack, you know, on the flat, you've been on the bow of the boat for several hours. You know, you pop a couple of those, you feel better.
Yeah.
So they're very important. Obviously, you know, let's start with the basics, like your own personal medication.
Sure.
I mean,
you should bring that.
You should bring that, and you should bring extra.
Yeah.
And you should be aware there's some places in the world that restrict what medications you can bring.
Okay.
And some have different rules about how they need to be labeled when you bring them. So I would suggest you bring them in there. You can bring your little pill organizer, but you should have your own medication in its own original labeled bottle. And if they're too big, like you're only going for a couple of weeks, you get them in 3 months supplies. Ask your pharmacy to give you a small bottle with a label on it. And if that's even too much for you to deal with, at the very least, take a picture of the bottle with the tablet in front of it. Maybe even the tablet, like two tablets out, one showing one side, one showing the other. That way, if anybody has any questions, is that for you and what is it? You can show them.
Wow. Okay. We are like minutes into this podcast, and I'm already learning a bunch of stuff. This is absolutely great. Okay. So, having extra medications, because your trip might get extended without you planning.
Right. I had a family member who was on a dive trip and became ill and actually ended up being hospitalized. Only for like a week or 8 days or something like that, but still. You know, if you only brought, you know, you're away for 10 days and you bring 10 days supply of medication, you know, if anything happens, anything delays, flights get canceled.
Sure.
You know, being from Canada, you know, your home airport is snowbound for 3 or 4 days, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing that comes to my mind immediately is Christmas Island.
Yeah.
And with one flight a week.
One flight a week,
you might be there an extra week.
Your minimum delay is 7 days.
Yeah. So bring extra bring snacks too.
Yeah. And I think I also told you, because of that situation and also Christmas Island and a few other destinations around the world, you know, power can be an issue, supplies can be an issue. I've done a lot of backcountry canoe tripping and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I actually, for our group, brought a like a water purifier so that if everything went to hell in a handbasket,
sure,
we could, you know, we could at least have supply ourselves with fresh drinkable water for an extra week or, you know, whatever, and even supply whoever we're with.
But. Okay, so I want to talk about like maybe medications, pharmacy stuff that the people need to bring on a trip. And let's like talk about it in two tiers. Let's talk about like here's the essential stuff that you need to bring for you and for friends, and there's a pretty good chance that this is going to get used, and then we'll talk about like the worst case scenario stuff.
Sure.
That you know for those that are
apocalyptical,
like paranoid people like me,
right?
We can talk about that kind of stuff. So
okay. So we talked about the rehydration stuff. I think that's super important for any trip. You know, it's easy to add to water, you know, and you're good to go. And it just, you know, helps you get along. You know, let's not forget about even hand sanitizer, because some places you're going to be eating and there's not easy access. So, you know, that helps. Obviously, we talked about your personal medications, and then the list starts. So, you know, pain fever. So, you know, Tylenol, Advil, acetaminophen, ibuprofen. You know, those things, you know, they treat pain, they treat fever, they treat muscle aches, you know.
You don't need all four.
No. Well, there's only two there. Those are trade names.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And I know, but I'm just to clarify for the... less evolved amongst us.
I actually do bring both.
You okay?
Because in a severe situation,
sure,
you can actually piggyback acetaminophen and ibuprofen together.
Okay.
So if somebody's got a really high fever, and when you take acetaminophen, it's 6 hours before you can take another acetaminophen.
Yeah.
Well, if your fever is peaking again, you could actually take Advil, which is also every 6 hours.
Okay.
So as long as you keep the acetaminophen away from the acetaminophen, and you keep the Advil away from the Advil, you can take essentially the maximum daily dose of each.
Okay.
Without problem. Again, that's an extreme situation.
Sure.
But you know, it's.
But like, for example, right now, I mean, this was a 4-hour boat ride on this boat to get to where we are at, and if we had to get evacuated out of here, I mean, there's no medical care for us here.
No.
For a considerable distance, right?
No.
I mean, it'd be in a skiff going to the mainland, and that would take, you know, a few hours. I mean, it's like it's a half a day before you have like medical care if you're
right.
If it's a, you know, so. So having both of those for fever, pain. Okay, so what about? I mean, there's some things that people maybe don't think about or, you know, plan for on these type of trips. And one is, you know, using muscles that you don't use every day, so you're sore. And there tends to be maybe a little bit higher alcohol consumption than...
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Cheers.
Yeah.
So... continue with maybe just some of the basic stuff for, you know, it's not life-threatening things.
Okay,
you know,
so the next thing that's probably the most common thing for most people is an antihistamine. So you're going to have, you're exposed to new things, you're exposed to new bugs. You might have an allergic reaction that you don't normally react to bugs. At home, we have a lot of visitors from Europe and the UK that come to the area where I live in the summer.
Yeah.
And the mosquitoes... like make them blow up huge.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's like they walk into the pharmacy and it's like European, aren't you?
Yeah.
And so I always sort of say the quintessential, you know, standby for everybody was always Benadryl, which is diphenhydramine. But the problem with it is it's every, you know, 6 hours. It causes a lot of drowsiness.
Yeah.
There are much better alternatives. They work just as well for immediate severe reactions as Benadryl does. So I'm talking about Arius, which is desloratadine, or Reactin, which is cetirizine. They both work well. They don't cause drowsiness, and they last for 24 hours.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really important with those is if you know you're a person who tends to react to things, you can start taking those preventatively. Like the day before you arrive, start with one a day.
Yeah.
And that way, it's easier to suppress an allergic reaction from coming on than it is to treat one once it's there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you don't want to miss a day of fishing.
Never.
Never. I mean, let's quickly talk about COVID, because we did have some anglers a year ago on a trip to Cuba. They got COVID on the trip, on the boat, but was 50 miles offshore. Luckily, they didn't have severe symptoms, but... you know, what should people bring COVID tests with them, or is it like what do you think about
at this stage? I think most of the time, you're still, even if you have a positive COVID test, the supportive therapies are very similar to what you've been doing for a regular cold. I mean, obviously, someone then ends up with severe symptoms of anything, you're limited to what you can do on board anyway. So again, the pain, fever things, you know, cough, cold stuff. Obviously, liquids are a bit of a pain in the butt, but you can bring, you know, throat lozenges, you can bring anesthetic throat lozenges, you can bring dextromethorphan DM capsules, you can bring guaifenesin tablets, which you can get in the US, which I can't get in Canada.
What are those?
So they're ones that actually cause the secretions the lungs produce each day to become thinner. So when you've got a lot of like sticky phlegm and stuff like that, you take these and you increase your fluid intake, and that's going to do the best thing you can to kind of loosen that stuff up and allow you to cough it out.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, what other things?
Obviously, you know, your own little personal first aid kit, like Band-Aids.
Yeah.
You know, antibiotic ointment.
Okay.
You know, hydrocortisone ointment. Personally, I will never travel anywhere without some type of hemorrhoidal ointment.
Okay.
Because, again, if you end up with some type of GI thing, and it can be incredibly debilitating. You know, that's something to consider. Obviously, sunscreen. You know, good sunscreen, apply sunscreen. A lot of people don't realize that depending on the sunscreen, there are a couple different styles. There are sun blocks, which have things like zirconium dioxide, titanium dioxide, and they work pretty much immediately upon application.
Sure.
But that the sunscreens, they need to be applied at least a half hour before exposure. You can, and some people can actually, you know, wait until they get out, apply it, and be burned before the stuff starts working.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's important.
Important for all of us from, you know, the northern, way northern hemisphere going to sunny places in the middle of
and
winter.
And obviously, the buffs, the cover-ups, hats, sunglasses, lip balm with sunscreen in it, which I forgot mine. I bought some and I don't know where it is. The other thing that I always have in every suitcase that I travel with is this stuff. It's called Leukotape. Now, I put it on like parchment paper in strips so that it's easy to pack.
Oh, wow.
And this stuff, fantastic for blisters, any abrasion, hot spots, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you can just cut a piece and then like...
In a pinch, you know, great for taping up a sprain, strain, you know, that kind of stuff. It's great stuff.
Literally takes no room in your bag.
No, that's like zero. So, and if you think you need more, like on camping and canoe trips, we take the roll because it's also works as duct tape to fix your boat, you know, that kind of stuff, so...
Yeah. Okay. A quick little note here. I mean, Scott has already mentioned a lot of different things. I was starting to put like a shopping list in my head, and I mean, I can't even count past, you know, three or four different things with those words that are so long. So we're going to put all that in the description below. So if you're listening to this on like Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app, we'll have those in the show notes. Or if you're on YouTube watching this, we will put that in the description down below.
Now, the one thing we didn't talk about, because we're on a boat, and we had a four-hour journey, we didn't talk about motion sickness.
Right.
And some people, like planes, trains, boats, whatever.
Yep.
So perhaps, you know, you could look into that. I think basically the one that's most commonly used is probably meclizine. In the United States, there's so many brands that, that use the same trade name for multiple ingredients.
Is that the patch?
No.
Or no, that's
the patch, meclizine is taken orally. The patch uses an ingredient called scopolamine.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Some people don't do well in scopolamine.
I wanted to nap.
Yeah.
When we were in Guatemala, I was like...
And get like cotton dry mouth nasty. Yeah. Some people hallucinate on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if you do something like put the patch on and then don't wash your hands and then rub your eye, this eye will like, the iris will like hugely dilate, and, you know, and the other one will be all like a pinpoint and you'll look really goofy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, it works well for some people. In the United States, it's available by prescription.
Yeah.
In Canada, it used to be available over the counter, but the one manufacturer that was supplying us discontinued it.
Ooh.
So I haven't been able to get it for years. There are some compounding pharmacies that will make it in the form of a gel where you actually just put it on your wrists and do that.
Interesting.
So there's options options there.
Okay.
Gravol or diamond hydronate, same, can work for some people, but again, lots of drowsiness with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be drowsy when you're on a fishing trip.
No.
Yeah. What else?
The only thing I'm going to say is I try to use generic names and trade names. I'm not 100% sure of all the trade names in the U.S., so if I blew that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to put we'll put the stuff in the description below, and then people can Google it pretty easily.
Yeah.
Okay, what about, like, the catastrophic stuff? Like, well, like, should you bring your own body bag?
Definitely no. I think that's the trip host's responsibility.
I have two in my bag,
or just a really big suitcase and a saw.
Oh my gosh!
So the only other thing, I mean, certainly you might want to talk to your family doctor or someone who does travel health. Actually, vaccines, you know, if you're traveling to certain areas of the world are very important. Malaria medications in certain areas of the world, you know, you got to look at that. Look at your destination.
We were talking about last night was making sure that you're up to date on your tetanus.
Yeah.
Especially for places like, you know, Christmas Island or, you know, places that have a lot of coral, right?
I mean,
coral's scratchy stuff, right? And that's you know, it's easy to get like a little scratch and get, then it gets worse with an infection.
Yeah. And actually we didn't talk about just basic anti-diarrheal medication,
right? Okay.
You know? So, you know, Imodium,
especially if you're going to Mexico,
right? Or anywhere that the water's different from what you're used to.
Yep.
But that also means that you can then also talk to your doctor about giving you something like azithromycin. Z-Pak is the common trade name, because it has multiple purposes. Once, it can be used for upper respiratory tract infections. You know, if they're bacterial, it'll work. If it's viral, it won't do anything, but at least you've got it. It can also be used for traveler's diarrhea.
Okay.
So, you know, has kind of a dual purpose. So that's something that's always in my bag of tricks as well.
Okay, the end of the world.
You know, hug your neighbor and you know, deal with it.
Yeah, be kind to people so you don't have a lot of loose ends to tie up.
You can only plan so far. I mean, I think probably the most, you know, the first thing that goes is like the water purifier. That is really just a, you know, that's a, you know, everything is, you know, not going well if you need to use that.
Right.
But that looks after, you know, one of the first basic needs, water.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can handle that, you might be able to scrounge everything else. But yeah, I mean, you can't plan for everything. You can't pack everything. But I said a basic, you know, probably the antibiotic from your doctor is you know, for that has kind of that multi-purpose, makes a lot of sense.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
No problem, man.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Looking forward to more trips.
Absolutely.
So we're going to, we'll have a bunch of stuff down below, like I said, and we hope that you join us on a trip, but be prepared. Bring your stuff along that you need for having a safe and fun trip, because it can be a trip of a lifetime in one or two ways.
Absolutely.
And so we will be also posting some stuff on YouTube about preparing for different trips. on other things to pack. And we have some plans for that. So you can check those in the links as well. See ya.